Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Weekend Wrap, presented by the Pugilist Corner. Well, we are definitely back in the swing of things. Plenty of fights on PBC last night. We saw the pay-per-views last week. We have more pay-per-views coming up this week. We're actually having a great boxing season. We have some less boxers, I guess you could say, going into COVID protocols, unlike that we have for baseball and well, basketball. Now we only have two teams, so we're definitely into the protocol there. But it does seem like some of the other seems like some of the other sports are having right now, especially when you look at football. But we had some great fights last week. We're going to talk to a young man that is frequently on our program, Mr. Blair Cobb. Then I'm going to have some talks with Miss Melissa Smith. Let's get this show on the road here. I'm going to call Blair right now. I was watching the Raiders today. I'm not sure how things are going out there in Nevada, but we'll see. We'll ask Blair exactly what's going on out there as far as the COVID is concerned, how things are they getting back to practices, exactly what is going on out there in Las Vegas. So give me 1 second here. Let me grab Blair up on the okay, let's grab Blair here. I think it's this person. Give me 1 second here. Very disappointed my Steelers are not playing today, but as I was saying, so I have two numbers for Blair here. I'm not exactly sure which one is the right one, but I think this is it.
No, you have the wrong number.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Okay. So that was the wrong number. So let's see now if we can find the right number for Mr. Cobb. It's one thing about these guys, they do change their number on me occasionally. And I have two numbers. Let's try this other one here. Let's try this number here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Good evening, sir. Right. Hey, Blair, how are you
yeah.
doing
tonight? Who is this?
This is James. You're on the air. You're on the Weekend Wrap.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on? It's been a little while since we had you on the show. How's everything?
Oh, everything's wonderful. Everything's wonderful.
Well, tell us a little bit about what's going on out there in Vegas, and at least they relaxed any of the restrictions you guys had yet.
Well, right now, I'm in Hollywood. I'm boxing in L.A. with Freddie Roach at the Wild
okay.
Card Gym. Yep, and things is working out very well. I'm amongst very, very solid, good fighters, you know, amongst top-tier level opponents and top-tier level champions, and we're just grinding it out each day, you know,
yeah,
each day to get to the top.
You're a little closer
to me. Get better in Vegas.
Yeah, you're a little closer to me now. I'm down here in San Diego, and I see we just had some fights last night in L.A. So you've been getting some good sparring up there at the Wild Card. Who can you say who you've been sparring with?
Not really, because most
okay.
of these guys
okay.
are like, they have very, very interesting names. They're from, like, Armenia and all kinds of different places, like Russia and things like that. I can't really pronounce their names, you know. There is this one kid that's doing pretty well there named Elvis, you know. He's doing really well. Elvis Rodriguez that boxed
yeah.
with Top Rank. A very good young prospect, you know, with a really good amateur pedigree.
You were up in Wild Card. Did you get a chance to watch the Twins before they fought?
Did I get a chance to watch the Twins?
Yeah. They fought on.
I think so. I got a chance to see a lot of people, and right now we have Gabriel Rosado that's getting ready for a big fight with Danny Jacobs. It's a lot of really top tier level fighters that's at the gym training and working really, really hard. And I love the fact that there's plenty of people to spar and plenty of people to just to bounce new ideas and get more comfortable with just being at an elite level when it comes to boxing.
Now, out here in California, we've had some restrictions. Still aren't allowed to have a large crowd. What made you decide to come out here at Wild Card?
Well, I just needed to just kind of get a little bit more attuned to top-tier level sparring and top-tier level training. So I just had to, like, change my surroundings just a little bit to get a little bit uncomfortable. Whole thing, when it comes to boxing, you gotta get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I felt like I was getting a little too comfortable being in Las Vegas at the time, you know, and training, you know, this type of training there. So things been working out really well in training right now with Freddie Roach. He's been showing me the ropes and watching my every movement, and really been taking a liking to me. Everybody has.
Now, are you scheduled for anything coming up soon, or?
Yeah, this should be a very, very possible fight coming up in November. So I'm just getting ready for that and being just staying on top of my game, making sure I don't gain too much weight and things like that. So
you've been you got a little comfortable with the the training table, huh? You got a little pounds around the middle or what?
No. I haven't gained too much weight, like as far as fat and everything, but I tend to gain a lot of muscle, so I try to just maintain my diet and maintain my weight just a little bit. Because I'm still growing. My body is very strange. Lately, I've been growing and getting taller and getting bigger, so I have to watch out for like what I'm doing and be careful with like the diet and things like that, things of that nature.
What do you feel that has been your biggest area of growth since you've been out here in California with Freddie?
Mostly it's all small technical work that I've grown. But it's like the thing is being out here with Freddie is very professional. They run a very, very tight shift, tight camp. And so just having that more professionalism around you is really, really good for you, especially when it comes to your growth. You're able to keep track of exactly what's going on, what's like how your body reacting. I have a strength condition trainer named Pedro that watches my every movement when it comes to my physical strength and my physical endurance. And we kind of just cater everything around what's needed. So it's just been a wonderful experience being around all these top fighters and top trainers and just being a part of the Wild Card Gym right now.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that seem to be happening in boxing now. You mentioned you were coming out here in Wild Card. And we just heard that Deontay Wilder has decided to move on from Mark Breland. First of all, what did you think about that decision? And second of all, what do you think about the fact that he fought before the fight? Do you think that had anything to do with throwing in the towel?
I don't know. When it comes to Deontay's situation, it just seems like they didn't really train to like change up anything. They didn't train for Tyson Fury to come in there with a different game plan and a different strategy. You know, and rightly so, because you know he did pretty much knock him out, but the thing is you can't always depend on getting a knockout. Sometimes you have to start depending on more other things, like how can you get the knockout, or if you can't get the knockout, what's going to happen then? How are you going to outbox and outclass your opponent? And with Deontay Wilder, Deontay Wilder wasn't really changing up what he's done, like, you know, even when it comes to like that right hand, how do you execute that right hand? How do you change it up? How do you make that right hand work when it's needed? See, and now with this other guy, Tyson Fury, he came in there way overweight. He came in there, oh my God, he was just a monster in that ring. Like, he was half of the ring pretty much. Like, there's nowhere to go. And that just paid dividend, because you know he came in there with a solid different game plan, and he executed nicely, and got the victory. I hope that that Deontay Wilder does the same. Doesn't just jump straight into a fight to fight Tyson Fury again with the exact same game plan without changing up some of his tactics. It'll be nice to see Deontay Wilder use a little bit more of his athleticism in a technical way. Like that's and that's really what most people are complaining about. A lot of the boxing enthusiasts are complaining that he is not technical enough, and that's why you know, most likely he decided to drop Mark Breland, you know, which I thought was the perfect match for him, but also, you know, he needed a little bit more than just one solid shot. You know, he has that one shot now, but in order to beat somebody like Tyson Fury, you're gonna have to have a little bit more layers to your game. You're gonna have to add a little bit more than just one solid punch, or he's gonna win every time. So hopefully things change up. Hopefully things can get in a better place.
To me, and Deontay is, I don't think Deontay can bulk up anymore. I don't think he can go up to like 225 or 230 without losing his speed and his edge. And Tyson Fury, you know, like you said, he just kind of, you know, I mean, he used his bulkiness, he used, you know, his height, he used everything, you know, to make sure he actually just bullied Deontay. And I don't see a way for Deontay to stop that unless he gets that knockout in there. It should be very. Did you get a chance to watch any of the Charlo fights or both?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you think about their victories? You know, the last time they were on the card, one of them lost, but this time both. What were you more impressed with, the stoppage of a Rosario or the fight with Devonchenko that went the distance?
I was more interested in the distance fight, the fight that went the distance. He fought a very, very tough fighter that really gave Triple G all he can handle. And it was a very good fight. I mean, he had his ups, he had his downs, and it was people were able to see a little bit more of what Charlo has to offer when it comes to fighting and entertainment. I would love to see is his name Jamal? I'm not really sure which one, the big one, the one that's 160.
Yeah, Jamal.
Yeah, Jamal, yeah. I would love to see Jamal go up against some of the other guys, like even a Canelo Alvarez. I believe that he's worthy of fighting Canelo Alvarez. I believe that he's worthy of fighting Triple G. I believe that he's worthy of fighting Danny Jacobs. And I guess it's only a matter of time until he gets his just due. I mean, why not? He is a world champion. I believe there's a lot of politics involved with that, you know. And so hopefully he can get in there and mix it up, and we can actually see who's truly the best in his weight class, because it looks like he might be it if he continues to have these great performances. I can't really see too much. You can't ask too much more of him. I mean, he even fought this guy, you know, and he's not an easy fight. He wasn't an easy fight, and he took it, even in the midst of a pandemic. So, you know, I would love to see what he has to offer in going down the road with higher level opponents with more prestigious names.
Well, he has been fight Canelo or Triple G quite some time, but you got to remember, like you said, I think there's a lot of politics involved. Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez. We got that fight coming up pretty soon. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to be what, October 24th. No, that's Devon. Santa Cruz 24. So let's talk about that one first. I think it's going to be in Las Vegas. They're supposed to be allowing, what, 250 people? There's even restrictions Las Vegas. It was supposed to be.
Oh, wow.
So people in the fight, yeah. Bob Arum says he's going to get the tickets to first responders. But, yeah, as of October 1st, you can have 250 people in attendance at a boxing match or anything. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
So, on that other kind of is Regis Progress. He's going to be coming to the ring after he lost his title to Josh Taylor. What do you think about Regis?
I don't really think too much about Regis. I don't really know too much about them. But on the other hand, I do definitely look forward to this fight with Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz and the Lomachenko fight. I'm very much looking forward to those fights and seeing how those what happens next. You know,
what do you
the division is very interesting.
What do you think about Gervonta and Leo? Who do you think has the upper hand, the experience of Leo or the power of Gervonta?
It depends on what type of fight happens. Like, if it's a technical fight, Leo might have an advantage. But if they end up, like, clashing, it'll be a very short night for Gervonta Davis, you know. But the thing is, how things transpire, you never really know. Gervonta has to lose a lot of weight. You know, like, is he even in that weight class anymore? Like, you know, because in between fights, it seems like he bulks up quite a bit, you know, and I know that will be a problem, especially when it comes to fighting and then, like, sucking up all his energy, you know, to be able to even throw punches and stuff. That's been, like, a big thing. Like, you can't really lose too much weight in training, or like you're kind of like hurting yourself. And I wonder how that weight loss is going to affect Gervonta Davis going down the long haul. Like, if the fight lasts more than six rounds, what's going to happen next? It's always my thought process, you know, especially if it becomes a high-paced fight where he's not able to just knock a guy down or knock a guy out. I wonder how his body is going to respond. You know, the Lomachenko fight, I don't, like, how can you beat Lomachenko is the ultimate question. You know, I know what is, you know, that guy is really tough and a really good, solid fighter. He definitely deserves a shot. It's just, man, when you look at Lomachenko and what he's doing, like, it's just incredible. I don't know how in the world that's going to work out, you know. How do you beat somebody like Lomachenko? You know, he's so far ahead of the game.
If you were planning to fight Lomachenko, what would be your game?
What would be my game?
Yeah, what would be your
game? See, that's a little bit weird. See, because, like, with me, right, I'm, like, extremely talented. You get what I'm saying? Like, a lot more talented than, like, a Lomachenko. Lomachenko he's talented in a different manner. He's, like, mentally very, very, very good. He's very sharp with everything. I'm more like physically talented. So I would use that to my advantage. You know, the fact that I can punch on a drop of a dime and throw very awkward punches and be a little bit more harder to time in each little exchange and just try to just win points. I mean, it's very hard to put a finger on Lomachenko. You know, it's very hard. It's hard to keep up. So, like, whenever he he starts getting off punches, you're going to have to stop his offensive flow as fast as possible by tying him up or running, getting him moving. You know, and sometimes this man is so crazy, he will even, like, chase you down. He would chase you down and keep that pressure. He's very hard to beat, very hard to time. I just, like, that's probably one of the only people that's very hard to, like, have a game plan strategy for. I mean, you can have a game plan with, like, okay, I'm gonna just land this one shot. I'm just going to practice this one shot, but you'll be probably waiting a whole fight just to land that one shot. And if that one shot don't put him completely out like the Linares fight, you know, it could be game over, you know. He breaks down your confidence because he just constantly, like, on you. He's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. He's very interesting when it comes to boxing. I haven't seen too many fighters that can do what he does. So, it'd be very interesting. And then we also have this other fighter that's in the mix too. The only person I think that actually might, and I'm saying, like, it's a small chance, and only because, like, I know this fighter and I know that he has quite a bit of dynamics that could be a pain in the ass for certain fighters, and especially for Lomachenko, is maybe a Devin Haney. You know, Devin Haney might be the only thing that I think that could possibly give Lomachenko a little bit run up for his money, honestly. You know, and Devin Haney's going to be fighting, pretty soon too, and that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, Devin is looking for a good fight too. Did you see the fight last night, Zapata and Baranchuk?
I missed that fight, but I heard a lot about it. I heard it was very close. I heard it was a really good fight, and it was very close.
Well, it was 8 knockdowns in 5 rounds. Definitely a candidate for fight of the year. Zapata knocked Baranchuk out in the fight on the 5 rounds, but it was a very good and a very close fight. As you were saying, Haney is supposed to fight Gamboa November. I think it's on the bottom of that Jacob Luzardo card, I believe. Or it might be the main event.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was trying to.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that Devin's going to win that fight. You know, certain fighters just look like they got, like, a curse on them. Like, Gamboa looks like there's a curse on that man. Every time there's a fight, every fight that he's been fighting lately, something has been going wrong, horribly wrong. Like, he's sprained his ankle or something like that. You know, he's not really that old, but it just looks like something's wrong every time he gets in there. Even with the honestly, it seems like something bad has happened every time he's gotten in the ring since. Like, I think the very first time it really started to happen was when he fought Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, he's been kind of snake bit, if you want to call that. I mean, he's had a good run, and then, he lose fights that he's supposed to, but he's always been a very good opponent.
So absolutely.
So he's definitely been able to play that way. Is your move out here permanent or what?
I'm not really sure, but what I do know is that, like, I will be spending a lot of time in LA. So it's just a hop skip away, you know. It's Las Vegas and LA are very close, you know. And most times it's only like it's just a $50 like plane ride. It's very easy to get here, and it's very easy to get out. So, you know, it's and then I still have business in Las Vegas. So I kind of like the fact that I'm here and not like somewhere else where I have to actually make a complete transition. But right now, I don't feel like I need to completely transition to being out here. But I definitely have to have like a resident here also, along with Las Vegas.
Hey, long way from the guy that jumped in his car and decided to come out here, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been one hell of a ride, that's for sure. Came out here with nothing. It's been one hell of a ride, being from homeless to this.
Yeah, man. I mean, yes, and we're glad to accompany you on this ride, and we look forward when they raise your hand in the championship, we'll strap one of them belts around your pick. Why don't you give us your final thoughts, my man, and tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
It's a wonderful time to be alive right now. I hope that everybody is staying safe from you know, from the COVID-19 cases and staying safe inside and whatever you guys are dealing with, whether it's a financial despair or mental despair when it comes to, it's been a whole lot going on lately, you know, and a lot of people have been dealing with depression and anxiety. And I want the people to be, like, encouraged and always keep the faith, you know, no matter what, keep the faith and just try to just battle through this time of adversity and also with this election that's coming up. If you haven't voted before, I think now is a good time to vote. And again, my name is Blair the Flair, the most exciting man in boxing. You can check me out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube at Blair the Flair. And for more exciting content, BlairTheFlair.com. Woo! Because nobody does it better.
All right, Blair. Before you go, say goodbye or hello and goodbye to Miss Melissa Smith. Melissa, you familiar with Blair?
Hi. Nice to meet you, Blair.
Hey, Melissa. How you doing?
I'm very well. Very well indeed.
That's wonderful. Well, I hope you're doing well. I hope you guys are living blissful as much as possible in this time of chaos. And I just wish nothing but the best for you guys. Have a great one.
Thank you, Blair.
Thank you.
You have a good night.
All right, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Melissa, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Not bad. We were just talking about how they were opening up things in Las Vegas. They're allowing 250 people, I believe, to events out here in Vegas. The first event, Bob Arum says he's going to give tickets to first responders. They're not going to sell any tickets, which I thought was very good. What's happening up there in New York?
Nothing's happening in New York. You know, there's no professional fighting in New York, and the gyms have been open for about 3 or 4 weeks now. One still cannot spar inside the gym, and the capacity is 35% of normal. So at a place like Gleason's Gym, they've put an app up on there, or they put an application for folks to register online so you can get a spot. And there are like up to 35 spots in any particular training session, which runs approximately an hour and a half. There are also no classes. You can train with your trainer. Have to maintain a mask the entire time in the gym and make sure that you're cleaning all the apparatus with disinfectant and frequently using hand sanitizer or washing your hands with soap for more than 30 seconds. So It's still pretty real here, and we've had a spike in certain neighborhoods in the city and may actually temporarily close restaurants, schools, and non-essential businesses in those specific areas. There's discussion of that right now and may go into effect as early as Tuesday, so we'll see.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, I was, you're having fights all around you. I mean, they're booking up in Connecticut. I think Rhode
yep.
Island is still going on with their amateur activities, but we've still managed to have some great action. Let's talk about some of your ladies first. I mean, that's your expertise, so let's go through some of those first.
Well, yeah, there was a very exciting fight today. It was out of the United Kingdom. It was for the WBC women's super lightweight title, and quite exciting in that. I just want to get the pronunciation of the names correct for everybody. But it was Chantelle Cameron, who was a 12-0 fighter, fought a Brazilian fighter named Adriana dos Santos Araujo for the vacant WBC World's Super Lightweight title. Chantel had been fighting at lightweight and was, you know, figuring that she would try to get into the queue to fight Katie Taylor, but this opportunity came up and they figured, hey, she's just going to go her own way and start to churn around and get some belts. As I said, she's a 12-0 fighter, and Chantel has fought, or now 13-0 with her win today. She's mostly fought in England. In fact, I think her entire career has been in the United Kingdom. And today was no exception. She's fought fighters from other countries in the past, and she's considered to be a good prospect. The fighter she fought, Adriana dos Santos Araujo, as I said, is Brazilian. And even though her career is now 6-1 as a professional, as an amateur, she's had a very long and illustrious career, and went on to win the bronze medal at the 2012 Olympics as a lightweight. So she has defeated a lot of the very highly ranked amateur fighters in the lightweight division in the past. So even though her pro career seems like it's fairly light to be fighting for a belt, she does have a strong amateur background, and until today had a pretty successful career. She came in 5 pounds overweight, which was pretty shocking because usually women come right in, right on target or a little less. And if they are over, you know, it's a few ounces and, you know, certainly under a pound, and they try to work it off in a couple of hours. So that was pretty shocking. And she was pretty noticeably bigger than Chantelle Cameron, but it was a very good fight. I would say that Adriana, the Brazilian fighter, certainly had more of a look of a fighter. You could see her amateur pedigree, but she was not as effective. She was tired. She was sluggish. And did not have the quickness in hands nor the combinations that were really needed to be able to do anything. And she lost the fight. She lost every round, and it was clear that she was going to lose every round. So we do have a new female WBC World Super Lightweight fighter. The big thing also is she is fighting. She's been signed by Matchroom Boxing. That's Eddie Hearn out of UK. And he has been signing up female champions or highly ranked women over the last several months. And now he just announced today that he's going to have a three-fight women's card on DAZN coming up in November. And that card is going to have a lead with Katie Taylor, so that's pretty exciting. And two other fights will be on the card. So things are certainly are heating up in the world of women's boxing. And more importantly, you know, this summer, there was a lot of respect that went to the women who fought on mostly on DAZN cards. And then, of course, you've got Michaela Mayer, who was fighting for Bob Arum on the ESPN cards early in the summer, and her fights were also quite good. So this is pretty exciting stuff. So on the card that's announced will be on November 14th. It'll be live on Sky Sports, and it will also be on DAZN in the United States. It will be Katie Taylor versus Miriam Gutierrez, Terry Harper fighting, who just recently took the lightweight belt. And she will be fighting Kathy Fenders, sorry. And then you have Ebony Bridges will be fighting Rachel Ball. So it's three women's bouts on a DAZN card. So that's pretty exciting. I don't know what other fights, if any, will be on that card in addition to that, but that's certainly very big news. And we'll see what other things are coming up. We also have a fight that's coming up in Germany on the 17th for a vacant WBF World Female Welter title and Women's International Boxing Association. And that'll be between Jessica Shatko fighting someone named Caitlin Phelan, who is way too light to be in a title fight. But that does still happen in the women's game, where you just do not have, in certain weight classes, run into issues of finding fighters who can be competitive in these kinds of bouts. So we'll see how that goes. But that's kind of what's happening here. Still waiting on announcement for any upcoming fights with Clarissa Shields. She has not fought in quite a while now due to the COVID emergency, and we're waiting, as I said, waiting to hear what her next bout is going to be.
You also have Michaela Mayer back in the ring, right?
Yeah, she absolutely. She will be coming back in the ring. Let me just bear with me, and I'll check on when that's going to be. But that is going to be very soon, and it is going to be for a title belt, which is, you know, something that she has really been striving for, and very important for her to make that next step, if you will. As she has been quite vocal on social media, touting her skills, but she also wants to win a belt for her coach, her very long-term coach, who turned 77. So that's a very big deal for her. In terms of her upcoming world. So we'll see how that goes.
I think that's on the 31st
of
October.
Right, I think you're right. I didn't jot it down, and I'm trying frantically looking as we're speaking.
She's fighting Iwa Brodnicka.
Yeah, she's, I'll tell you in a few who she's fighting. Hold on a minute. My internet is suddenly down, so it's not opening the page that I'm trying to get to. Just bear with me.
Yeah. Let's see. She's fighting the WBO female lightweight title champ, junior lightweight titleist.
Right, yeah. I have her right here. She will be fighting, yes. Eva Brodnicka, yeah. And who is 19-0. So this is a pretty big This is a step up for her. This is WBO World Female Super Featherweight title. It'll be in the bubble at MGM Grand, so that's a very exciting opportunity. Eva has, you know, she's fought like Edith Matisse out of Argentina, defeated her. She has some decent people that women that she's fought along the way, getting up through her career. She is a Polish fighter. Does not appear to have had an amateur background, but she has been fighting for 7 years as a pro, and as I said, has slowly developed a 19-0 record. She's got two KOs, so she's not necessarily a power fighter. She is 36 years of age, so, you know, that gives Michaela an edge in terms of the fact that Michaela is 30, and she also is not only 13-0 in terms of her pro career, but she's got a very impressive amateur background. You know, she fought from, she's a former USA boxing champion, and she was also an Olympian in the 2016 Olympics. So she is quite a good fighter, and I think this will be a very, very excellent match and give her an opportunity to really legitimately step up into the elite class of female boxers.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, things seem to be really heating up as far as the women. Like, you know, I mean, there's more and more venues that we're able to see them now. And even though with the COVID, you know, it still could be a very good year for women's boxing.
I think so, because, you know, again, Eddie Hearn has made a legitimate investment in women fighters at a high level, and it's kind of pushing folks like Top Rank to really reconsider. You know, Lou DiBella was sort of the first to really have more than, you know, the token girl. He's the first that really started to sign several fighters. Although that hasn't been much movement with his fighters lately, but he certainly was a pathfinder for that. But Eddie Hearn has certainly really picked up the gauntlet, and I think that is very much built on the success of the fights he had this summer. And, you know, there's even been discussion of, you know, is he looking to kind of go to more of a base it a little more on the model of, you know, mixed martial arts sports, where you're looking at kind of almost like a league concept, where your own fighters are fighting each other. And is this potentially the kind of marketplace that we're going to end up with? And that's an interesting question. And I think for female fighters in particular, it offers some opportunities, but we'll see where this all goes.
Yeah. It should be very interesting, like you say, to see where it all goes. Speaking of seeing how where everything goes, it's official, I guess, that Deontay has parted ways with Mark Breland. What did you think about it?
I feel very sad about it, because, you know, they were together for a long time, and Mark Breland is such he was a remarkable fighter, and he's a really good coach. And, you know, this, I guess, all stems from the fact that he threw in the towel in the Wilder fight. And, you know, there was a parting of the ways, I guess, on that basis. And it's unfortunate. But I think Mark knows who he is, so I'm sure it was hurtful to him and may hurt his career as a coach, you know, as a trainer, certainly in the short term, to have been left by a fighter in that manner. In terms of what it will mean for Wilder, that's an open question in terms of who he eventually selects and what it is that he's trying to do and trying to achieve in his career. I mean, Mark took him a very, very long way, and it'll be... Now, I guess, you know, Wilder's saying, hey, I want to take that I want to go in another direction. I want to do other things. I want to be more in control of what my fighting is going to look like, I guess. I guess, if it comes to the point of, in a relationship like that where it's getting toxic, I guess the best course is to move along. As I said, you know, I have the utmost of respect for Breland. I thought he made the right decision because his fighter was in terrible trouble and better to live and fight another day. But ultimately, you know, I guess at this level, Wilder is going to make the decisions that he's going to make. And if he feels that Breland cost him that opportunity to win the fight, he's never going to get past that. So I guess he had to do what he felt was necessary.
Yeah. It's very sad for I think, both fighters. I mean, for the fighter and the coach, considering how, like you said, how much they've been through. I don't think
they're 13, 14 years together? It's a long relationship, you know.
Yeah, I don't really see Mark trying to take on any other fighters. I think this might be it for Mark. I mean, Mark wasn't one for the public spotlight anyway, so.
He does come to Gleason's from time to time. You know, he's Brooklyn's own. And he's so sweet and unassuming and kind to anyone who ever sees him in the gym. You know, that's always been my experience of him. And very low-key, very quiet, very calm. And, I think for someone like Wilder, that kind of presence in his life was really important and really helped steady him as a fighter, as a man. I mean, look, you know, Wilder they knew each other a long time, and in a way, he grew up with Breland. So I agree with you. It will cost him, too. It'll be hurtful to Deontay Wilder, and I'm sure there are many, many emotions that come with making that kind of a decision. And we'll see where that ultimately goes. And I think you're also right. You know, Mark Breland is never one to really want to grab the spotlight. And depending upon what his, you know, financial opportunities are in terms of moving forward with his life, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think about the two Charlo fights? Would you consider them elite now? Or did you all the time?
I guess I didn't see the fights on the night they were live because I just didn't want to pay my $75. It wasn't that exciting to me. And there wasn't anything else that really drew me to the card. So I'm like a lot of people that didn't watch it originally. And I saw some of it on the replay last night, and I've certainly read about it. And it sounds as if, you know, they performed, and maybe, yes, in my estimation, they've gone up a bit. But I think I'm more objected to the idea of a $75 fight in the middle of where we are in terms of COVID and in terms of trying to get boxing back. I just felt it was really tone deaf. And I think I objected to it because of that, and maybe kind of didn't give it the attention it deserved in terms of what the fighters were trying to achieve, because I just objected to the overall message of having that kind of huge pay-per-view when people are out of work. You know, I don't know. I just had an issue with that, and I couldn't separate it.
Yeah, I definitely understand. Like you said, in the time of this pandemic, there were other things that probably should have or really did grab our attention much more than a $75 fight. I was thinking about the Lomachenko fight here against Teofimo. What do you think about all of the hype that this fight has been given? Do you think that it's fought that the, you know? Do you think that, this is a fight that's going to live up to its hype?
Oh, that's a very good question. That is a good question. And, you know, again, because of COVID, there's a lot of, I mean, it'll be, what, a year almost exactly, right, between when Lomachenko fought last to this fight. And he'd been pretty busy otherwise, usually fighting a couple of times a year, 2-3 times a year. So I don't know what effect that eventually has on either fighter. And I don't know whether there's really bad blood or not. It's always hard to know these things, right? I think it'll be exciting, and I think it'll really be worth watching is the first thing I think. And, you know, being challenged by a younger fighter who's hungry, who really wants to push for that, is going to make it an exciting opportunity, an exciting bout. I mean, I think with a fighter like Lomachenko, one watches and a little bit with your heart in your mouth going, well, is this the fight where he's too old? Is this the fight that he starts to go down the slope? Is this the fight where somebody can actually reach him in terms of the inevitable downfall of any boxer in their career because they just age out? You know, they're not as fast. And then if that's the case, is this the fight where he shows other adjustments to be able to still be on top of this game? And I think for me, that's, as I'm looking at what this fight can represent, that'll be part of what I'll be thinking about as I watch it. You know, is this the fight? You know, is he really, even though he's only 32 years old, right? It's not like he's an old fighter, but he is an old fighter in the sense that he's had such a long amateur career before ever becoming a pro. And then as a pro, he fought at such a high level that one forgets that he's only actually had, what, 15 fights as a pro. And he's actually lost a fight, right? So, but still, I think there's this part of all of us in looking at what that fight's going to be that's thinking, well, is this the fight? He's going against a 15-0 guy who's really hungry and really wants to make a name for himself. He's got 12 KOs coming into this bout, you know. He's almost 10 years younger, you know. What is that going to really look like? So I think it's going to be interesting because it's a question of really how fast Lomachenko is still going to be and what other tricks he has from his experience that can get past speed, because inevitably speed starts to go. So what are the other things that what are the other tricks, what are the other old pro moves that he will make on Lopez? So it'll be interesting. I actually am looking forward to that fight.
Another interesting fight, Halloween night. We have Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that one?
You know, I'm not as up on either fighter, so I can't really say with any sort of authority what I think that will look like.
Okay. Let's see. We also got Haney and Gamboa and Jacobs and Rosado. Blair was...
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see Jacobs back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lemieux is fighting in a couple of weeks, I think, in Canada. I was like, really? Yeah. You're still there? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jacobs will be interesting. I see what he still has in the tank.
Yeah, Rosado, do you have any concerns about Gamboa after the way he looked in his last couple of fights? Gamboa seems to be snake bit. I mean, you know, he's one of those guys. He looks real good, then he looks awful. Then he looks real good, then awful.
Yeah, I'm not in. It's kind of hard to really. Yeah, you're right. It's hard to pin him down. I'm like, what's going to happen? It depends on, you know, how the fight goes. What did he eat for breakfast? Right.
Yeah, kind of like.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, Danny Jacobs, that'll be interesting. You know, there's a documentary called. I think it's called Counterpoint. It's a boxing documentary that's on Netflix, and it follows Kid Chocolate, and it shows their fight, his fight with Danny Jacobs, and also it follows kids in the Golden Gloves, sort of like Brooklyn, New York City fighters or people who fought in and around New York City, sort of. You know, up till about 2016, 2017, or actually probably about 2018. It's worth seeing. But it was interesting seeing that fight again, or certainly highlights from the fight in the documentary. And I highly recommend folks to watch it on Netflix if you have it. Because it was interesting showing the perspectives of the fighters as they were sort of going through those experiences. But in terms of Danny Jacobs in particular, that fight, which was so defining for him, the Peter Guillam fight, so defining and such an important moment because, you know, it was still very much his post-cancer story. And, you know, of course, he's gone on from there, and he's won fights and lost a couple, like the Triple G fight he lost and the Alvarez fight. But it'll be interesting to see what he still has in the tank because he's certainly a man of deep reserve and fortitude and strength. So it'll be interesting to see what he can really pull out of the hat, if you will. Having not fought in almost a year, when I think his last fight was in December, and then fighting again in the end of November, will be an interesting opportunity. And I'll be curious to see what he still has left as a boxer.
Yeah, because I mean, Gabe is a dangerous person for a guy that's on that's going on the backside of his career. So we have
yeah,
to really...
and it's not exactly as if Gabriel is also, you know, they're around the same age, you know, but
yeah.
It's just different fighters, different pedigree, different career trajectory.
Right. Most definitely. Did you happen to see last night's fight, Zapata and Voracek?
No, I didn't get to see it. I actually watched a little bit of MMA later because Holly Holmes was fighting, kind of a comeback, and did very well. So I missed that in favor of watching her MMA battle.
It was definitely the most exciting fight that I think we've had this year. What was it?
Wow.
Eight knockdown.
Okay. And that's
knockdown.
That was on ESPN, or was that on, that the one on ESPN?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right, because I was trying to find it today and couldn't find it. Actually, there was a whole chain of dialogue on Twitter today trying to locate the fight on the ESPN website.
Well, you might be going to Top Rank because it was a Top Rank card.
Yeah, it was a Top Rank card, and there was actually there were about four or five people. There were people from ESPN talking. It was really kind of funny. you know, Woodsy, who was a sports reporter, you know, he was like, well, where is it? I can't see it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, definitely potential for fight of the year, but
that's right. Yeah, because then and that was Lou DiBella, and there was a photo actually of the other fighter who lost and coming back from the hospital, because he had to get his eye looked at. But a very, very good fight. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed it live, and I will see it on the Top Rank site, the ESPN Top Rank site.
Speaking of COVID, they're saying that Eddie Hearns now has tested positive.
Yes, he did. He was in the bubble in England, outside of London, and had to leave immediately. Very distressing. Apparently has mild symptoms, thank God. And during the fight card today, or his tonight, they actually had fight Sunday night, which was interesting. But during the card, he was coming on air remotely from his home. So, you know, he's sick, but he's not down for the count, if you will, thankfully. But, so he tested positive. And that's kind of surprising because, you know, they're so careful. But they test everybody every day, so make sure everybody stays safe. So the system worked, and no one else was exposed. So that was good.
Have you heard anything else about the Terrence Crawford-Kell Brook fight?
No, only what's been in the papers. That's it. I wish he would fight. I think you and I have talked about this in the past, that he's not doing enough. And it's unfortunate because, you know, he is such a talent. And my concern is that, you know, he's 33 and it's going to pass him by.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Yeah. You know, it's his WBO welterweight title on the line. It should be very exciting. There, you know, Crawford's 36-0, Kell Brook is 39-2. I think it could potentially be a dangerous fight.
Yeah, that should be. Before I let you go here, I want kind of give us a summary of what you think is going to be what we're going to see the rest of the year in women's boxing, and what do you kind of think that the direction that we're heading in with Clarissa Shields and some of the other young ladies, as you mentioned, we're seeing more promoters seem to start taking women's professionals a little more seriously. But what are we going to do about, even though it's the sport, the women's sport itself is becoming more popular. What are we going to do about the disparities as far as the money? And do you think that we're going to see 3-minute rounds in boxing in 2021?
Well, a couple of interesting questions, kind of in three parts. One, I think Eddie Hearn, by signing so many highly skilled female fighters at different levels in their career, some are further along than others, there's a real opportunity to offer quality fights, which is one of the big issues in women's boxing, because there just aren't that many fighters or that many opportunities, because, you know, you have the issues of, you know, you're fighting either, you're a WBO fighter or you're a WBF fighter or you're, a WBC fighter or an IB, you know, and then issues with the rankings and who can fight whom. And when you're in a situation where you suddenly have a promoter with so many fighters, he's, as I said, you know, there may be this window that starts to, or this shift in the model that starts to look a little bit more like the model of MMA, where you have leagues, essentially. You know, it's kind of like you're in the National League, or the, you know, it used to be Strikeforce in UFC or Bellator, and there's a whole crew of very quality fighters that allow folks to fight each other, get experience, get exposure, get a lot of fights, and not have to sit around and worry and wait to see whether there are any opportunities. So that'll be interesting to see whether that's going to develop and whether other folks like Bao Barron's Top Rank, that's having some having success with female fighters, Salida Promotions, that is having success with Clarissa Shields, are going to take a look at this and say, maybe there's some opportunity here. Yeah, and there is actually another fight coming up. Savannah Marshall in England is going to be fighting Hannah Rankin in middleweight, and it's possible that the winner of that fight will fight Clarissa Shields. That's in just a couple of weeks, I think. Let me just quickly remind myself of the date. But that should also be a very exciting fighter. Savannah Marshall is the only fighter that has ever defeated Clarissa Shields. This was very early in Clarissa Shields' career as an amateur when she was she lost to Savannah Marshall in one of the Olympic trial bouts, but ended up being able to get into the Olympics and she and Savannah never fought again, but that was, as I said, the only loss. So also on October 17th, so this will be fighting out of England. You know, we'll have October 17th being a big day for fighting out of Vegas on the Top Rank card, but also out of England. Savannah Marshall will be fighting Hannah Rankin. Hannah Rankin has already fought and lost to Clarissa Shields, but was, you know, accounted for herself pretty well. She's also a professional cellist, so she's an interesting person with an interesting story. And as I said, Savannah Marshall had a pretty important. She represented England as an amateur champion, and she is quite a skilled boxer so far as a professional. She had been, she was with Mayweather, I think, and that didn't really go anywhere, so she went back to England, and now she's fighting out of England. This, as I said, is an opportunity for the future in terms of a potential Clarissa Shields matchup, which people have been thinking about for a while, again, because Savannah was the only person that ever defeated her, defeated Shields in an amateur bout. Of course, Shields has never lost professionally and has never lost since that one bout. So there are these opportunities for these fighters who have come up through the amateurs, who are fighting at a fairly elite level. And then you have the fighters who've been around for a while, like Melissa Hernandez and Heather Hardy and Amanda Serrano, who's still a very powerful fighter, Layla McCarter. And these are really skilled female boxers that have never been able to get into the money or the opportunity necessarily. They've been the ones that have been pushing the envelope, saying, no, we have to, you know, get us on television. So we'll see whether they have, I mean, Amanda Serrano may have a shot for elite bouts again. I am not so sure about Heather. I'm not so sure about Hernandez. But certainly they're available as strong opponents for these younger fighters coming up. And, you know, they've also made it clear, hey, we're not going to do this unless you pay us money, because I'm done, because I'm not going to risk my life for not having any money. And in terms of, you know, these, the Eddie Hearn signing these women, they're being signed at pretty decent levels. So it's then a matter of catching up in terms of the equity for the pay for opponents, which has always been abysmal. And then working through to the question on three-minute rounds, there are some systemic issues. Number one, WBC refuses to sanction any bout, that female bout, at more than 2 minutes. So that is a huge hurdle. Because if the green belt is saying, no, not going to do it, refuse to allow women to fight more than two-minute rounds, then that's an issue. So that, and that has to be overcome in some manner. Meanwhile, on the amateur side, women now fight three-minute rounds. They fight the same as the men, three-minute rounds. That is the elite level. The only difference is, at this point, male elite amateur fighters have no headgear. Women still have headgear. That's another whole nightmare discussion on headgear or not headgear in the amateurs. But certainly it's already out there. And women are already competing routinely in 3 minutes. In the Olympics, when it comes, it'll be three-minute rounds. So, and I think as we've discussed in the past, women always practice. I mean, when they're sparring in the gym, they're always sparring at 3 minutes. They're sparring, you know, 10, 12 rounds for 3 minutes, getting prepared for a championship fight. So I think that we will see much more momentum to push for three-minute rounds, but it will be tied to the discussion about money. Because a woman who's going to be paid, you know, some ridiculously low amount for a bout that would be 10 rounds at 2 minutes, and so 20 minutes of fighting, if she's then told, oh, you're going to do 10 rounds for 3 minutes for the same money, she's going to say, hell no, not going to happen. One other aspect of the three-minute rounds, aside from the WBC's position, there are also state boxing commissions or athletic commissions that still only allow two-minute rounds. In New York State, as an example, this law was changed thanks to a fighter named Sereno who basically pushed the commission to change it to allow for three-minute rounds. That has happened. And it's really at the option of the fighters to choose as part of their contract whether to have a two-minute fight, two-minute rounds or three-minute rounds. The interest, what's developed, though, in New York is that women have said, no, we'll stick with 2 minutes because of the issue of pay equity, because they have not been offered money to allow them to box for more time. And they've been pretty adamant saying, no, not going to put my life on the line for that. So it remains very real. There are many known fights that are upcoming and known fighters that are coming along that will are bringing excitement to the world of boxing from not only the United States, but through across Europe and in Mexico. That is still continuing to generate a lot of interest, especially outside of the United States. And I think that will also push the window and also push the opportunity for having more talent in the pool to develop more contests that are more competitive. So that is a real opportunity, I think, in the next coming year. The other thing, and I personally feel so gratified about this, is we just got our ballots as electors for the second year of inducting women into the International Boxing Hall of Fame. I think this is fantastic. So in 2021, God willing, we actually have a ceremony. We'll be inducting the 2020 and the 2021 fighters. That's number one. Number two, Ring Magazine has started publishing rankings for female fighters. There's a top 10, and at this point, I think 8 to 10 different weight classes. So it's really exciting, and I'm very proud to also be part of that committee. And it's we take it really seriously, and we are tremendously excited at the opportunity to push for this. At about the same time that Ring Magazine started publishing their female rankings for the first time, ESPN started to do rankings, and you're starting to see these outlets take it much more seriously. There's a really dedicated core of sports boxing writers that report on women in the world of boxing, and many more social media accounts that follow the sport. So that's really exciting and gratifying. So I'm cautiously optimistic that coming into what we hope will be a new Olympic year, we'll be coming in at a level of much more strength in the sport.
Have we heard anything definitively about the Olympics?
Last I heard, it's summer of 2021, but nothing's confirmed. We just don't know, you know. I mean, COVID is a nightmare, let's face it. And it's not going away. It's certainly not going away in the United States anytime soon. I think we had, almost 48,000 new cases yesterday. So it continues to really be a huge social issue in the United States. We have almost 210,000 deaths since March. It's pretty terrifying. And there are in certain European countries, and all around the world, we're starting to see a second wave. So it's hard to know how that's going to affect the world of sports internationally.
Yeah.
And whether or not we'll be even able to have the kind of Olympic trials and other competitions globally that would lead to elite fighters being even in the condition that they need to be in order to compete in the Olympics. So hard to know.
Yeah, it's when you look at the things that are happening in other sports, you have to be pleased with the very few cases that we've had working inside the bubble. When you look at we had football teams, look at the Tennessee Titans, basketball, baseball.
Yep, yep.
So even young college football players, they talk about, young people, but starting we see these young men that are sometimes in the best shape of their life. We have almost whole football teams affected by it. So, yeah, this virus does not play favorites in any way, whether it's sports,
no,
politics.
And you're absolutely right, James. And it's indiscriminate in how terrible it affects people. Because you can have 10 people in a room, they can all be 19 years old, and one out of those 10 people who's 19 years old can end up hospitalized for weeks or months and have their health destroyed at 19. You just don't know. And sure, there are, underlying conditions that make you more vulnerable. You can still be in the peak of health and become totally destroyed by this terrible disease. So you just don't know.
Yeah. Melissa, why don't you give us your final thoughts for the evening and tell everybody where they can find you on social media. Thank you so much.
Sure. Well, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. I continue to be humbled by all that you do for the world of sports and the world of boxing, and I so appreciate that you include me in your outreach on this and your work on this. In terms of my final thoughts, I just wish everyone well. Please stay safe. Please wear a mask. I know maybe there might be other parts of the country that are not as affected, but it really keeps you and your family and your loved ones safe. as well as the people you meet outside, and hang in there. We're all in this together. We lose sight of the fact that we're all in this together, but we really are, and we will be able to see our way to the end of this into a better day. I was reminded recently, I came across this on Twitter. It was a discussion of the fact that in the Black Lives Matter marches across the country, there were really no upticks in COVID that happened. And in a discussion about it, it came out, well, you know, there was a really active work to keep people safe. Everyone wore masks. There was actively handing out hand sanitizer, food, water, anything to keep people safe and encouraging the kind of distance that was necessary, even in large crowds, really being mindful and respectful of people's space and of wearing masks. And, you know, it really made a difference. And it also created a sense of community that may not have been there otherwise. So there's a lot of things we can learn out of despair and sadness. And it makes us understand that we're all human and that we're all in this human condition together. And if we just reach out to each other in an honest and open way, we can find common ground and a way to go forward. So I wish that to everyone. And like your last speaker, I encourage everyone to vote. It's really important. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, you will vote your conscience, but please vote. It's very important. And if you've never voted before, there are many, many, many people who have come before you who have really worked very hard to give you that right. And there are those who would take it away from you even today. So please do what you can to register, plan how you're going to vote, and then go out and take care of business for all of us. So thank you. You can find me on social media. I'm Girlboxing Now on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And I wish you all the best.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
That was Melissa Smith. We'd like to thank Melissa and Blair for coming on tonight and giving us their very interesting observations on upcoming events and some past. Thank you so much for coming on. Make sure you tune in to us again Tuesday on the Dog Pound with K9 Boxing. You can catch us Tuesdays and Sundays right here on the Weekend Wrap. Have a great night. Look forward to talking to you next week. Ooh.